This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. Mutinous soldiers in Gabon say they are overturning the results of a presidential election that was to extend the Bongo family's 55-year hold on power. AP correspondent Charles Iledesma.
The Central African country's election committee had announced early on Wednesday that President Ali Bongo Ondimba had won the election with 64% of the vote. Within minutes, gunfire was heard in the center of the capital, Libreville, and a little later, a dozen uniformed soldiers appeared on state television saying they'd seize power. The situation in the capital isn't immediately clear, with no word from the president. The coup attempt comes about 1 month after mutinous soldiers in Niger seized power from the democratically elected government. I'm Charles Villadesma.
Air attacks in Kyiv killed two, while Russian officials accuse Ukraine of targeting six Russian regions with drones on Wednesday in what appears to be the biggest drone attack on Russian soil since Moscow sent troops into Ukraine 18 months ago. Drones hit an apartment in the western Pskov region and started a massive fire there. Secrecy surrounding the funeral on Tuesday for Wagner Group founder Yevgeny Prigozhin meant it could not be turned into a large public show of support after he died in a plane crash. Reuters correspondent Matthew LaRotonda with more.
Villagers living near the crash site told Reuters at the time that they heard a loud bang before seeing the plane fall. The plane model had a good safety record and only one incident in two decades of flying, which was not related to mechanical issues. This is the last known video of Prigozhin, said to have been filmed in Africa and released just days before the incident. The crash killed him and other top members of his private military company, Wagner Group, along with the plane's crew. It's not clear what will happen to the group now.
And this is VOA News. A wildfire burning in northeastern Greece for 11 days has destroyed an area larger than New York City. That's according to the European Union-backed Climate Change Service on Tuesday. Reuters correspondent Fiona Jones.
The flames have turned swathes of lush greenery into scorched earth and destroyed homes and livelihoods. The Copernicus Emergency Management Service said the fire had raged over 310 square miles at least. And New York City takes up 300.5 square miles. All but one of the dead are presumed to have been migrants who crossed over from Turkey. Authorities fear more bodies may be found when the flames are put out, as Evros is a popular crossing into the EU for thousands of migrants and refugees each year. Summer wildfires are common in Greece, but the government says extreme weather conditions, which scientists link to climate change, have made them worse this year.
The eye of Hurricane Idalia is headed for Florida. AP correspondent Donna Water with more.
Eric Blake of the National Hurricane Center in Miami says Idalia already is a Category 3 hurricane.
Idalia could become a Category 4 before landfall later this morning. And what we really want to emphasize is the threat of a potentially catastrophic storm surge of 12 to 16 feet. In the Florida Big Bend region.
The Big Bend region is where Idalia is expected to make landfall. I'm Donna Warner.
The U.S. says that a smuggler with terrorist ties helped get migrants from Uzbekistan into the country. AP's Lisa Dwyer.
The Biden administration says it has detected and stopped a network attempting to smuggle people from Uzbekistan into the United States, and says that one member of the network had links to a foreign terrorist group. A statement from the National Security Council says U.S. officials do not believe the Uzbek nationals who used the smuggling network had any terrorist ties or were planning a terrorist attack. The NSC did not specify the foreign terrorist group, but a U.S. official told the Associated Press that it was the Islamic State. The NSC says that the U.S. worked with governments overseas to detain key members of the smuggling network, including the person with the foreign terrorism links. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Australians will vote on October 14th on a proposed law to create a so-called Indigenous voice to Parliament in the nation's first referendum in a generation. The Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, on Wednesday announced the referendum date, triggering 6 weeks of intensifying campaigning by both sides of the argument. The referendum would enshrine in the Constitution an Indigenous voice to Parliament, a collection of advocates aimed at giving the nation's most disadvantaged ethnic minority more say on government policy. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.